If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
They were getting engaged. He went to a store and they sold her a 10 carat lab for $40,000. She called me. She's like, listen, we got separated. How much is the stone worth? That stone should have cost you a penny over $8,000. Straight highway robbery. There's two ways to make ice. 20 degrees outside, the water becomes ice. That's the natural way. And there's the machine way through a freezer. They're both ice. Same thing with diamond. They're both diamonds. One is made naturally from the ground mine. And one is made in a laboratory.
The misconception is that a lab-grown diamond is not a diamond.
It's a diamond. You put in a diamond tester, it's going to pass. It's a diamond. It's just made differently. You're going to sell me this natural 3-carat you bought for $30,000 tomorrow. How much am I paying you? $15,000. You can lose 50% of your money. You buy this 3-carat for $3,000, but you lose $2,500, you lose $15,000.
People talk about it. They say diamonds is an investment.
It used to be till lab came out.
Right.
Now it's not an investment anymore. So I got robbed a few months ago outside my house. They took $500,000 in merchandise from me. They beat me, took all my shit and ran away. My shoulder got dislocated. Now mind you, I have a 6 a.m. flight to L.A. to go to David Dobrik's birthday. Could have sat home and been depressed. Fuck this, they're not gonna stop me. Be nice to people, you'll never know when you might need somebody. And just because you can change somebody's day. Never know, one smile, one hug, one good morning, one how you doing. Might save somebody's life.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I was lucky enough to have Moshe, known to millions as Watch King NYC, take a moment out of his nonstop life to come down from New York City and sit with me in person here in my Florida studio. With over 2 million followers watching him daily as he runs his empire online and in person in his store on 47th Street in the Diamond District, it was rare to slow him down for a real, honest conversation, and that's exactly what we did. If you think you know Moshe from Instagram, think again. Behind the flashy watches and the larger-than-life persona is a story you would never expect. We talk about his upbringing in a deeply religious Jewish household, his early life as a rabbi, and the private struggles that followed, including a devastating gambling addiction that cost him everything. At one point, he was homeless, completely broke, and starting over from nothing. What's misunderstood about Moshe is how much hell he's walked through to become the man and the businessman he is today. We unpack that journey, but we also get into the world he's now known for, buying, selling, and understanding luxury. We break down whether watches are actually an investment, what luxury really means, and how he's expanded beyond watches into the jewelry business. And because this is such a hot topic and controversial right now, I spent a good amount of time getting into his expert take on lab-grown versus natural diamonds. There's so much stigma, confusion, and misinformation out there, especially for people thinking about getting engaged or making a major purchase. I wanted real answers from someone who lives and breathes this world every single day. We covered a lot, and I had a great time with him. I'm really excited for you to hear this episode with the Watch King from New York City. Thank you so much for
coming. The name, my God.
Yeah, coming all the way down to Palm Beach, to the Boca area to have this conversation with me. How are you?
Good. This is an excuse to get out of the cold weather.
Yeah,
it's good to be here. Beautiful podcast. Everything looks amazing.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. It's an honor to meet you in person. I've been working with you for, I feel like, months now, trying to get things right. You are going to be helping us with our wedding bands and a bunch of stuff. You've been helping us with Christmas gifts. So it's really an honor to meet you.
My honor. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So people look at you and they look at your handle, your Watch King NYC, and they see this larger than life, handsome, schmoozy guy. But I want to hear about how you got there. Like, I want to know about your childhood. You were born in Queens, right? Tell me about your life.
Born in a Hasidic community, Hasidic household. My dad is like the chief rabbi in our community.
No way.
Yeah. Born.
Still?
Still. One of six kids. Grew up Hasidic, you know, with the curls and the bald head and the penguin looking guys, you know?
No way.
Yeah.
That are listening and they see these men walking through the airports and they're always praying and all this stuff, what does it mean to be a Hasidic Jew as opposed to like a regular Jew?
It's devoting your life to religion, to God. I mean, it's their way. Mm. I don't believe in that way. I believe God is. I mean, I believe they use religion as power to control. Mm. That's why I left at 22. We'll get there. But I think it's a brainwash. I know the religious community will come after you, but I think it's all a brainwash, and that's the way they control you into fear. Like, they make God fearful when God is loving. Mm. Right? You're a parent. I'm a parent. We love our children unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's what God is. God is our parent. He'll love us no matter what we do. Yeah. We can be the biggest criminal. I don't know. God forbid some people do some things that are not supposed to be done, but he still loves us because we're his children.
Yeah. So you mean with that religion, I think it's a lot of religions, but they put that fear in you that if you don't follow it, you'll be in trouble.
God's going to punish you, right? He's going to, this is happening because you did this. This is happening because God decided that's the way you're going to get closer to him. Yeah. That's what I believe in.
It's interesting. My family, my grandfather is from the Ukraine, Ashkenazi Jew, whatever.
Oh, really?
And then my mother's side is very like waspy Palm Beach. So I'm half of each. It was interesting growing up because my mother really pushed religion on me. My other grandparents were more like New York Jews, like reminds you of Seinfeld almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love both sides, but I stopped sort of believing in religion after 9/11. I thought if there was a God, how could they do this? Like it was very confusing for me. So I like the idea of religion, like on holidays, kind of. I like going to church. I like, you know, my other side is still, I go to Seder and I do all those things. But too much religion is very hard for me to take in just because of my experience, but for everyone else's life. So your family raised you very religious.
Yeah, Orthodox, Hasidic. So I never went to secular schools. I never went to co-ed schools, went to boarding school in high school. Basically, I was 22 and I decided that this is not for me. So I left the religion. Now I don't have a job. I'm not educated. What do I do? So I went to 47th Street and got a job. And a friend of mine, Gabby, asked me if I could bring $50,000. He'll teach me the business, the watch business. And that's what happened.
So, but growing up, do you have aspirations like every other kid? Are you like, I want to be a surgeon?
I want to be a doctor.
You do?
I want to be a plastic surgeon. Huh. That was my dream. I used to watch it on TV. I used to go to like talk to doctors when I was a teenager to pick their brain and ask them what happens and what it feels like, you know, helping somebody. So my dream was to be a doctor.
Okay.
I went to my dad. I said, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to go to college. Like, no, you're not. You're going to be a rabbi. You're going to be a doctor for the souls. You're going to cure souls. You don't need to cure human beings. Like, you don't need to cure flesh and blood. That's what I did. I became a rabbi at 22. 21.
You did?
Yeah. And I used to, I studied, graduated, became a rabbi. And I was like, this is not for me.
Right.
I can't. This is not what I want to do.
So to change your life, was that really hard for your family?
It still is.
It still is. Do you have a relationship
with
them?
Yeah. Now I do. I mean, now I do as I got older. So
you have siblings?
Six.
Six.
And I have a twin brother identical and I have four other siblings.
Stop.
Yeah.
What does the identical brother do?
He owns a franchise called Smash House Burgers. There's one in Boca.
Yeah.
There's one in North Miami and eight in New York City.
That is amazing.
Yeah, he's killing them. God bless my twin brother. So we both
broke off
together. My brother is more religious than me now.
Okay,
he's back. He's whatever, but he's still not like Hasidic, but he's closer to religion than I am.
Okay,
but we were always together.
Amazing.
We went through this journey together.
And the other siblings are still back home.
Ultra, ultra, like.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless them, whatever they want to do. All right. So you go to 47th Street.
Correct.
You needed $50,000? Is that what you
said? Yeah, I got $50,000, started the business.
Wait, how'd you get $50,000?
I borrowed it.
Okay. Not from your family, obviously.
I actually took it from my dad.
Oh, did he know you took it?
Yeah, I told him I need $50,000. He's like, whatever, just take it and good luck. I took it, built it into an empire, lost it all in 2012 gambling. Gambled all my money away, ended up owing money over $1 million. Boy, over $1 million. Lost my business, lost my house, lost everything, was homeless. Went to rehab therapy for 2 years, cleaned my act, and now we're here.
Okay, you went too fast. So you start with $50,000, and what did you think you wanted to do? You wanted to learn the watch business.
Yeah.
Why watches? You like?
I don't know.
Have nice watches?
No, okay. My dad's a religious man. He'd have nothing nice.
Oh, got it. Okay, so you just liked watches.
I loved it.
Were you educated in it?
I knew nothing.
Okay,
I just went right in, bought my first watch for $11,000, sold it for $11,800, and I was hooked.
Okay,
made $800 in 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm not doing anything else.
So what did you do? You worked for someone else.
Somebody taught me the business. So I was under his wing.
Okay, in a store.
He had his own store. I met him. We did a road test together. His name is Gabby. He really helped me in this business a lot, and I learned from there how to buy and sell. What a Rolex is, what the models are, what it's worth, what the market is.
Okay. And so explain the watch business for people, because I think a lot of people are familiar with Rolex.
Right.
The other ones get a little fancy. So like, tell me all about it. What do we need to know about the watch business?
There's levels, right? Like car levels, it's levels. Richard Mille Patek, then there's Audemars Piguet, Rolex, and there's a Cartier, Breitling, Omega. They have FP Journe that some of them are on the high, some of them are not.
Brands like Omega like a standard low end?
Okay, it's fine.
It's a watch.
It works. There's a resale value to it. It's not like tomorrow it's going to be worth $1 million. I mean, Rolex is the one that's, I think Rolex is the godfather of the watches. It's the oldest watch brand, I believe. I might be wrong, but it's steady.
Yeah.
90% of people walk into my store buying a Rolex.
Right. Okay. What do you think about new versus used markets?
I'm a used guy.
Okay. And so
I buy my cars used, I buy my watches used.
Okay. Do you even sell any brand new
watches? Of course I sell brand
okay.
new.
Okay.
Of course.
But the market is more there for used. I mean, obviously I would think for the buyer, the value is there for having something used.
Yes, because again, you buy something new, automatically you're gonna lose money on it.
Right.
Unless it's a specialty item, piece, but I need normal watch. So you buy, why would you buy new if you can buy used, save the $2,000-$3,000?
Yeah, right.
Somebody's gonna lose. Some people don't care. Oh, I want my energy on the watch. People aren't into energy or whatever. I want it to be mine, so it's fine. My job is to educate the consumer.
Right.
Once I educate him, he'll make his decision.
So people say that the luxury watch market is always a good investment. Is that always true?
I don't call it an investment. It's investable. It's not an investment. You're not guaranteed to make money.
Okay. So if people wanted to get in the watch market, what are your favorites? Like, do you like Rolex over something else?
Rolex is the one that shows the most, that has the it's invested. Like the old Daytonas, the old Submariners, the old sport models, the ones that went up in price.
Mm.
Gold watches typically don't, very rare they do. Mm. So it all depends. But again, it's something you're buying. It's like a Birkin.
Right.
You guys, women have Birkins.
Right? Yeah.
Birkins are they investable? No, but you're not going to lose your shirt.
Right.
You buy it for $25,000, you sell it for $23,000. It might go up. If it goes up, you're in the luck. But you don't buy a Birkin to throw it in the safe.
Right.
You buy it because it's nice. It's luxury. It's fashion. But if you buy whatever it is, Michael Kors, no offense, you buy it for $5,000, you're going to get $100.
Got it. Okay. But that's not a watch brand.
Michael Kors, I'm talking about the bag brand,
yeah,
right? So
right.
You buy Birkin.
But I think they have watches, don't they?
They do, like, but whatever. It's like...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like a cheesy...
It's fashion.
Right. What do buyers completely misunderstand about the value in the watch business?
Well, we don't make that much money.
Hmm. That's interesting.
We make more money on jewelry than watches. Watches you make on a $12,000 watch, lucky if you make $800 to $1,000.
Okay.
Right? So people are like, why you invest so much money to make $800? Because I'll sell 10 of those a day.
Got it. So people are still liking, no matter the economy, people are still buying.
Oh, yeah. It's getting more and more pricier every time.
Okay. So now if you had a $10,000, $20,000 budget, like for people that are listening, that are not like the super high-end people, what would you tell them to invest in?
Great question.
Obviously. First of all, you would say come to you because you have the best deal.
They already know.
Yeah, okay.
You guys already know I'm not going to rip anybody off. Sometimes I wish I had that instinct, but I can't. That's one thing I learned in Hasidic school is my dad always told me, don't be greedy. Don't put 10 fingers in your mouth. You're going to choke, right? Try to fit 10. Fit 5. 5 is enough. 10, it's called a chazer. Don't be a chazer. Because you're buying a customer for life. You're buying into the customer.
That's right.
Right? When you buy from me, you buy into me. You don't care. You can buy the same watch, the same jewelry anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You're buying it because you trust me.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to build. So what watch I advise? Buy a sport model Rolex, Batman, Batgirl, Sprite, Pepsi, etc.
Okay.
If you have up to $20,000, $25,000.
I've never even heard of this Batman. I saw you have some sort of a giveaway for a Batman. What's a Batman?
Batman is a GMT. We call it a Batman because it's a black and blue bezel.
Ooh.
So it looks like Batman.
Okay, I love it.
All right. We have a Sprite, then we have a GMT, then we have a Starbucks, and you have a Hulk, and you have all these names.
Amazing.
We have all these nicknames for Rolex. This is called a giraffe.
Oh, I love the giraffe.
It looks like a giraffe, right? It's brown.
But is this your name for it, or that's...
No, that's what we call it. Everybody calls it.
In the industry.
All watch guys know, like, it's called a giraffe.
Okay, well, for anyone listening that wants to know the most gorgeous watch I've ever seen, it's the giraffe. It's amazing, really. Okay, you also know the diamond business, really.
Yes.
I want to get into that. How did you switch from watches into diamonds?
So I did watches till 2011, I started getting into diamond. And I was doing diamonds for 2 years. Made a lot of money with the upgrades. I'm not going to get into it now. Mm-hmm. And I went, once I lost my money in gambling, whatever, I went back to watches in 2014.
Okay.
So I knew the diamond market. I know what it's for, what people like to do with it. So I started doing, now I started doing jewelry because of Lab.
Right, which I want to get into. But before we skip over to that, I actually want to go back to, you said you had a business and then you lost it.
Yeah.
So before you lost it, were you now on your own or you were still working with this guy?
No, I was on my own.
Okay, and you had a store or you were
I was a wholesaler. I had an office upstairs.
Wholesaler, yeah. Okay. And when you're a wholesaler, tell our listeners what that means.
Wholesalers, you sell to retail stores. Okay. Like, you see these jewelry stores around the country or around 47th Street downstairs. Upstairs are all the wholesalers who sell them downstairs. So a wholesaler will not sell to a retail client.
Got it.
You have to have a special license.
So you obviously had done well enough and made those relationships that you had this business that the retailers were buying from you.
Correct.
Okay. And you were doing well for yourself.
Yes.
And so what happened? You got involved in gambling?
I went to the casino one time.
Where?
In Atlantic City.
Okay.
Went to the Trump Hotel, won $18,000 in 2 hours. I said, I'm never going back to 47th Street again.
Oh, you thought this was your new calling?
That's my new calling.
Oh, geez.
So I'm good at this. And then I ended up
being really bad
at Baccarat.
Baccarat.
I was really bad at it. I mean, not bad. I lost.
So how long did you think you were good at it?
I lost 100 pounds in 6 months.
Okay.
That's how bad I was.
And you never, did you go back to work?
I didn't go back since, no.
So you stayed there and just became a gambler.
Took money from people and gambled my life away.
Did you get in trouble?
With the law, no. With people.
But I mean, with people.
Yeah, of course.
And what was that like, having people come and say, you owe me money?
It's horrible. And then I just sat down with people once I realized I have a problem. And I said, give me 2 years, I'll pay you back.
Did you pay everybody back?
Everybody back.
Wow.
The penny.
Okay, I want to know how you did that. But how did you get...
The watch business, I did it. I went back to watches and started hustling, moved to Hong Kong for 7 years and built my business there.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. You have so much going on and it's so good. So I don't want you to skip through it. So wait, did you ever have to go to rehab? Like, how did you get over
2 years. So I went to therapy first. I went to a therapist, sat down with him.
Because I think you really have to want to stop, right?
Shout out Dr. Mizell. I sat with him. The nicest guy. The first thing I told him, I said, you live in my community. Don't be there because of my dad.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit who your dad is. I said, okay, now you can be my therapist. I sat down. I started lying to him. He's like, don't come here to lie to me because I'll take your money, but don't waste your time. Mm. The hardest thing was to admit what you're doing. It's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And
but for people listening, how did you get there? Because I know
I
a lot
choice.
Of people struggle.
It was either prison or got it. Or there.
That but moment. As you're sitting there admitting this, were you like, shit, I want to go back to the casino?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I still want to go back.
Yeah.
I miss it every day, but it's something that I can't do because
you just know what rock bottom is.
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah. It was really bad. I lost 100 pounds. Owed the whole world money. I was embarrassed. They took my house, took my car. They took my everything I ever owed. I was done. I had no choice. Wow. Either I'm going to hurt somebody to make money and go to jail, or I'm going to go clean myself.
Yeah. That's what I did. So at rock bottom, how did you start to rebuild?
They teach you it's like 1 hour at a time, one day at a time. Every day is a victory. So you take every day. You don't think about tomorrow. You don't think about it. You think about now, okay. The moment. Every moment is a victory. So every day you're clean. Every day you don't gamble. It's a victory for you. That's what I did. I took one step at a time. And then I'll never forget. I was on eBay because I loved watches again. So I was like, you know, I saw a watch and I needed money. So I went to my guy upstairs, one of my wholesalers. I sold diamonds. He's like, listen to me. You have $25,000? He said, yeah. I said, I'm going to buy this watch. I'll flip it and make $500. He's like, okay, do it. I flipped and made $2,000. He's like, you know the watch business? I said, yeah, I did it before that. I was like, I'll put all the money. We go 50-50. But you have to leave the dime business. I said, I have no business. I'm broke. He's like, all right, done.
So now which guy was this? Is this somebody you work
with? Yeah, his name was Sono. God bless him. He's an Indian guy. He's the best guy. He helped me a lot when I was going through my struggles. So he's like, I'll put all the money. We'll split 50-50. I said, just give me $4,000 a month and the rest I make, I'm going to pay my people right. I want. That's what I did for 2 years.
Wow.
And he shipped me to Hong Kong and he's like, go there. That's where the business is. I went there. So
tell me about Hong Kong.
Amazing. I mean, it's New York City. Just same thing.
What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages, eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days, with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, rogershood.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off.
You had
to find your way in.
Yeah, I would knock on doors, try to get in, I'm buying watches. And then I learned my way there.
But you were learning like about customers there because they have money?
No, I was learning about buying overseas and selling wholesale.
Got it. Because the margin is so much better?
The conversion rate.
Conversion. Okay.
So I did the conversion rate. So I would go there, live there for 2 weeks, buy, ship it back to the U.S., sell it to all the stores and do it for 7 years. Got a house there, had an apartment there, had everything there.
Loved it there. Did you have a girlfriend there? Did you have a
No.
there? Well, somewhere in there, I know you got married and had kids, yeah?
Yeah.
Do we not want to talk about that?
No.
Okay. But I like knowing that you're a father and you can be committed because you were
married. Best gift I ever got.
Okay.
Was my children.
Can I ask, are they older? Or are they?
Yeah, they're older now.
Okay. And will they follow in your footsteps? Do they like jewelry?
I want them to go to college. I want them to get an education. I'm not educated and I regret it every day. Yeah, I know people say education is not for you. Education is for you when you come into a fork in the road. You know how to handle a situation. Uh-huh. Either you handle it like a street thug or you handle it with education. That's usually the educational way is better.
Right. I will tell you as somebody who is highly educated that it is life experience that teaches you how to get through things. The education is good for the basics.
Basic. I don't have the basic.
It's also good for connections. Nobody guided me that way. Like I will make sure that when my daughter goes to college, it's a college that I know 20 years from now, when she is in a position where she needs something, wants something, there's some relationships, that's where you get the relationship.
Yeah, I have no connections with nobody. Yeah. Now I do thanks to social media. We'll get to there.
Yeah. But
before that, I was a regular guy on the streets. Nobody knew who I was.
Right. So you're in Hong Kong. You're figuring this whole thing out.
Yeah.
And is it mostly watches or it's diamonds?
Only watches.
Okay. And was there some lesson out of that experience that you were like, oh, shit, this is the biggest thing I learned from Hong Kong?
Yeah, you think we're big people in New York City. Hong Kong have the biggest fish in the world. I went to Macau. I'm not going to lie. I went there. I called my therapist. I said, I got to go see Macau. Macau is like Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I got to see how they gamble there. He's like, quick, go, but promise you're not going to play. I said, I promise I'm not going to. I have no money. Mm-hmm. I went. I saw Chinese people there playing. The way they played, they're so smart, educated, how much money they have. It was a different world mm-hmm. that I was in. Like, they built their buildings in a year, hotels or whatnot. It was like,
yeah,
it was New York City times 10.
Yeah. They
never
are-
been?
I've never been. I've flown through there.
You have to go.
Yeah. They are regimented. They are thoughtful in everything that they do, meticulous. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different, it's a different culture.
Soldiers.
For sure. And they are focused on something and don't change.
They threw me out of Hong Kong. And Mahomes won the Super Bowl in 2020, right? When COVID started, or 21. When was it? Mahomes 20. Won his first Super Bowl. That day I went to Hong Kong for the last time, and I didn't go in 3 years later because of COVID. COVID hit then.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, what the hell is COVID? And they're like, no, it's not for you guys. It's a Chinese virus. Just get the hell out of here. Go back to America.
Right.
So we went on the plane. They're like, all Chinese customers have to wear masks. Americans don't, because you guys are going back home.
Oh, wow.
Then when they hit America, I was like, oh, well, I was not the first one who got COVID. Like, oh, I was so nervous that I was there.
Right.
But then...
So yeah. You got out and got back to America.
They threw us
COVID.
Out. We couldn't
got
even it. Stay there. They said, if you're staying here, we're going to close this place.
Wow.
So I left.
Little did you know they closed our place too.
They closed Hong Kong for 2 years.
Right. I know. That's insane. So you come back to America and COVID hits. So mm-hmm. what was your business like then?
Same thing. Just shipping back and forth.
Okay. Got it. And then, is that when your Instagram started to take off?
It was February 2nd, 2022.
Okay. Tell me why. What happened? Well, up until then, did you do shit on Instagram?
Yeah, just posting whatever it was. And February, I would be on all these other TikTokers and people like, oh, I saw you on this guy's TikTok. So I was like, you know, let me try it. So I called my partner and I'm like, bro, let's do TikTok. He's like, no. So I said, listen to me. I'm going to get a booth downstairs. It's going to cost $2,000 a month. That's like all the way in the back. It's a year lease. It's going to cost you $24,000. Either we hit it or we don't. Mm-hmm. Let's try. I'm not in. I said, okay, so you stay upstairs, run the service center. I'll go downstairs with the TikTok guy. He said, okay.
And at this time, were you already Watch King NYC?
Yeah. Okay. I got that name. I made that name up in 2017.
Okay. And you had how many followers at this point before you started?
Oh, probably 80,000.
Okay. So you weren't doing bad. I mean, people started to know who you were.
No, people just were looking and watching. But they didn't recognize you. Now they started because when you start educating and you start acting yourself.
Yeah.
They like today I was recognized like 5 times before I came in here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, everywhere we go.
And you're not even in New York. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Shows you the reach.
Yeah, it reaches everywhere. People come every day.
Yeah. So, okay, so what happened in February?
February 2nd, I started TikTok. I was so nervous because I'm like camera shy because I'm a shy kid in real life. Like I have like social anxiety from people. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a crowded room, I try to go away because I get anxiety from a lot of people. So
it's so funny with your personality. People probably just think you're too cool. And they're just probably like,
no, not at all. I'm very shy in real life.
I know, but it doesn't come off.
Somebody walked up my side. I was like, yo, you didn't come say hi to me. I said, bro, I'm a shy kid. But a lot of people walk in. I just go to the back and hide because I don't know what to tell people. Like yesterday when I was going on Rosanna's show, I was shaking. I didn't sleep all night. I had felt like I have a hole in my stomach.
Oh.
Yeah. Like if you put me in a public room, 100 people, I'd probably want the floor to open and bury me.
Right. Oh,
I have like, I have like anxiety from public speaking or I get nervous. TikTok really helped me through it. I was much worse. Mm. So we did the first video. Hit 10,000.
Do you remember what it was about?
Yeah, I flipped a watch to Carrie, the godmother, Sky Dweller.
Okay, now tell people about this flipping, because that's something that you do.
So I did it with Moses.
Okay.
Moses is a famous TikToker who was before me on TikTok. I want to tell you because of him. So he came to my office one time. He wanted to buy a watch. We were arguing for $500. I was like, let's flip a coin for that $500.
So that's where this started.
He's like, yeah, let's do it. But I wasn't on TikTok. Yeah, he was. So he was recording us doing negotiation.
Got it.
So we started with that. So I say, you know what? Moses has his mazal. This guy has this. I said, I'm going to start the coin flips on TikTok. And that's what happened. So me and him started together. And I was like, that's going to be my niche.
Right.
Of the coin flips.
So basically for people that don't know, because they're not on your site yet, you say, okay, this watch is $10,000. I'll give it to you for $8,000 or you're paying $12,000, depending on who.
I do it with customers all the time. No.
For real?
All customers.
Even when the camera's not rolling?
Oh, yeah. Some 90% of the customers don't want to be on camera.
Do people come in and say, listen, the guy across the street said it was this much. That's how you get the amount? Or how do you?
No, they decide.
They decide. Okay.
They decide. And I tell a customer who walks to my store, if you find it cheaper anywhere else, that price you show me, I deduct $1,000.
Got it.
Go shop around.
How often are you winning in this coin?
I lose 8 out of 10.
You lose 8 out of 10?
Yeah.
What do you always say, heads or tails?
I don't call. They call. I flip.
Oh, they call. And do they always call heads?
80% call heads.
Okay, got it. So then the percentages show that you should always be saying heads. I'm just...
Me, no, I don't call.
Not
I don't
you,
like the call.
But I'm saying if someone's in that position, if you flipped with me, now I'm going to say I want to do heads. I think
80% say heads. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So now let's talk about what you're doing now because you have 2 million followers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing talks. You know, you have your Wednesday days where you get
every day,
whatever. So you're in the car and you're like, here's my advice for the day.
Or I just say it from my brain. I don't, because I'm not educated, so I can't say something with fancy, but I just talk like a street kid. And a lot, I suffer through the stuff people suffer.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed to talk about my addiction, my anxiety, what I go through, because we all have it.
Yeah.
People stigma like, oh, he's not normal. No, I think the whole world suffers from some sort of mental disorder,
mm-hmm.
but they're embarrassed
of
what they have. I'm not embarrassed. This is me. Either you like it or no. If you don't like it, it's fine. Like, I have ADD. I can't focus more than 5 minutes in the conversation. You see, even during our conversation, I'll just jump to a different topic and then jump back.
Well, no, I've noticed like you're on the phone, you're on the TikTok, you're like having, but I mean, that's the majority of people, by the way.
I'm okay with
it. But I think it's important what you bring up because everyone is suffering in their own mind from like 1,000 different insecurities or things that are going on. And I love, like, for example, you posted the other day, you said, I woke up, I'm not feeling
yesterday,
well today.
Felt like shit.
Yeah, and you didn't say whether it was like you had bad news or you physically felt sick or whatever, but you just said, I'm not having a great day.
I felt sick.
You mentally?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I just did this show. Maybe I thought it sucked. I felt bad about it.
And interesting.
So I was down on myself. So I was like, I'm gonna make a video about me feeling like shit, and it's okay. You just keep it moving.
Yeah, right. So your message was, but what does that mean? Who gives a shit? No one's crying for me. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna have a good day and make something of it. But what was interesting, because I was doing some research on you, that got, you know, 50,000 likes, whereas some of the other ones, what you're talking about, watches, get 50,000 likes.
Yeah.
So it's not like people don't care about what you're saying. Also,
I think
they care a lot.
They care more about that than they care about the flips. And that's what I love, because
they're
like, oh, we look forward to it every day. And I love what you say or whatnot. You know, I had my old nanny I saw the other day. I didn't see her in years. She's like, you know, I watch you every day and I look forward to your things every morning. I mean, my day, she's a nice lady. Like, she doesn't know me. She doesn't owe me anything.
Right.
She saw me on the street. Like, oh, my God, I miss you. And I watch your advice of the day every day. I decided to say just to I try to help as much people as I can.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and from your interaction, it seems like you are.
Yeah, I try. Listen, I try to tell people that we're all the same. We're all in the same boat. Just because one is here, one is there, it doesn't mean we're different.
Right. All right. So let's talk about a day in the life for you.
Yeah.
You get up. What time do you get up?
Get up 6:30, go to the gym.
Where do you live? You live in Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Queens.
Queens. Okay.
Born and raised. I go to the gym. I have a trainer 3 times a week. I work out myself 3 times a week. Drive to work. I get there around 11. Do my advice of the day on the way to work. Listen to sports radio every day.
Okay.
No music.
Okay.
That's it. I get to work.
And then it just starts. And you're there from 11 to what? You guys close at 6 or something?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it slow? Is it crazy all the time? Are you
getting...
It can
be slow for 2 hours. And it can be busy the rest of the day.
But I mean, are you getting DMs from people?
I don't
people?
Answer my DMs.
Well, does anymore. Someone?
Someone looks, but...
But I mean, in your DMs, are people like, I want that watch, or how much for that?
I leave a phone number where they can call.
Okay.
So I'll say something. People are always like, oh, you don't answer DMs. You're so cocky. I'm not cocky. 99% of the people on my DMs are just wasting my time.
Right.
Oh, say hi. Or, for example, you know what you want. Remember, when you called me, you're like, I want XYZ.
Yeah.
You didn't say, okay, let me ask you a question. How much is a 10-carat lab? You just like, I want a 10-carat lab or whatever it is, 13-carat stone. I want a 10-carat this. I want this XYZ.
Yeah.
Then I know you're serious. People say, how much is this 40-millimeter Datejust when it's a 41-millimeter? I know they're just trying to engage in a conversation, so I don't do that.
Yeah.
I try not to answer. I leave a phone number. I say, this is the phone number you can reach. I have 10 employees downstairs who can answer your question, whatever watch you want.
Okay, amazing. All right, so let's get into that. Because the real reason why I think it's very interesting to have this conversation is because you are the leading authority. You are the expert on diamonds, watches. But I wanted to have you on because there's such a big conversation about the value of a stone, the value of something. And, you know, in this day and age, money is somewhat hard to come by.
Correct.
And so let's specifically talk about lab-grown, which you brought up before. I think there is a huge stigma that everyone knows that lab-grown is not a diamond. Lab-grown is less than. I think the stigma is, oh, he bought you a lab-grown. Well, then he doesn't have that much money. You're not as important to him, all these things. Whereas I don't know that that is true. And well, it's not true, but I think that I need people to hear from you the actual difference in lab grown and real diamonds and why they are becoming the hottest thing to buy right now.
Okay. So I wear everything lab. I'll never buy a natural diamond.
Which is interesting because you're in the business.
I'm in the business. Right. This is not lab because Rolex doesn't make lab. This right. is not, like factory Rolex, but I wear lab. I advise you to wear lab. Now, this is the analogy I always use. There's two ways to make ice, correct?
Right.
One, that it's 20 degrees outside, the water becomes ice. That's the natural way. Mm-hmm. And there's the machine way through a freezer. Mm-hmm. They're both ice. Right. Yes?
Yes.
They both make your water cold or whatever the hell it is?
Yeah.
Correct. They're both ice. One is made in the laboratory, mm-hmm. in that machine. One is made naturally.
Right.
Same thing with diamond. They're both diamonds. One is made naturally from the ground mine, and one is made in a laboratory.
Well, I think it's important to reiterate that. They are both diamonds.
They're both diamonds.
Right. So I think the misconception is that a lab-grown diamond is not a diamond.
It's a diamond. You put in a diamond tester, it's going to pass. The only time it's not going to pass, you put in a special machine that it turns red that shows that it's lab. Don't show that it's fake. It's a diamond. It's just made differently.
Right. So
I mean, a girl with enhancements is a girl. She's still a pretty girl. She has enhancements. It's not a joke. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody.
It's true.
I love it. Everybody wants to grow with a hat. Nobody wants, you know, every girl or man wants to look young. I put Botox. That means I'm not a guy. That means I'm not a human. Yeah, I have enhancements, so I don't want the wrinkles in my head. Right. Same thing with a diamond. So why would you spend, let's say, $1 million on a 10-carat natural when you could buy the same exact stone for 10 grand?
Right. Talk about the difference in how they look. It's
same look.
Same sparkle.
You know what I did the other day? I'm going to say it out here. I never said it before. I took two lab diamonds. I'm like, two lab necks, like one is natural, one is lab, guys. Who knows the difference? Nobody knew the difference.
Right.
Nobody. Oh, this is lab. This is natural. This is lab. This is natural. Left is natural. I don't know the difference.
Right.
I don't. That's why I put in the machine before I buy it.
Right. I got it. So
for me, who does it for a living, knows the difference. Nobody knows the difference.
And then, right. So that is the point too, that no one can tell the difference besides the person who's looking through a gemologist.
Even a gemologist can't tell. You got to put in the machine.
Okay. So it's that specific.
Yeah, you got to put in the machine. Different.
Okay, so I did some research on this to just explain like easily for people listening. Natural diamond, it's formed underground over 1 to 3 billion years under extreme heat and pressure. That sounds crazy to me.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Lab grown, created in a lab in weeks using technology that replicates the exact same heat pressure.
Correct.
Okay. Bottom line, they are chemically, physically, and optically identical.
Correct.
They look the same. They have the same sparkle, the same brilliance, the same hardness. I don't know what that means, but the same fire and clarity. To the naked eye, there's no visual difference.
Zero.
Okay, so let's talk about when you're going to buy a stone, you always hear the color, the VVS, the 1, the D, the F. Talk about that.
So there's D.
Is that color and clarity, right?
Correct.
Those are the two
D,
things.
D, E, F, G, A, D to Z. They have C, but it's very rare. D to Z is the color. Okay. Z is yellow,
black.
Yellow.
Okay.
D is white.
Okay.
D, E, F is top tier. G, H, I is second tier. Then anything under J, K, L is the other tier. And it goes down and down until it reaches Z color. You know?
And color means what? Brilliance? It means the white that
the white,
is coming.
Okay. Exactly. Then you have the clarity.
Okay.
Flawless is number one. Mm-hmm. VVS is VVS1, VVS2, VS2, it goes down the whole way.
Now, some of these you can get through, and it might mean that there is an issue with the clarity, but no one to the naked eye could see
correct.
It.
Correct. That's SIs.
So would you buy them?
That's good and natural.
Okay.
So if you buy natural, somebody's like, I want natural, you buy studs, you buy I1s, because nobody sees them. It's not naked eye, and it's cheaper. That was back in the day when you buy an engagement ring. You don't buy VVSs. You buy SIs because nobody sees a clean SI where it's a little black inside, but you won't see it unless you have a loop.
Mm.
That's fine.
For your money, you mean?
Yeah, for your money.
Right.
For the money, you go SI1, SI2, mm-hmm. VS2, if you're feeling saucy.
Yeah.
But today there's lab. Nobody cares.
Right.
Natural took such a hit.
Well, but that's the issue because people do care, right?
Like Uber, right? There was in New York, there was medallions. Remember there were taxi medallions mm-hmm. in New York? There's yellow cab. You have to have a medallion. Each one of those was worth $1 million. And they were never selling it. Today it's worth nothing because Uber came out. So what's your because you can't rent that medallion anymore. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
I can become an Uber driver myself.
Right. So I want to get across that somebody in the diamond business
correct.
still thinks that the better, I don't want to say investment, but the better purchase
is natural.
Is lab.
People disagree with me all the time.
Yeah. Because of the value.
Because they sell natural. So it's what they sell. I can sell both. Yeah. Customer walks to my store is like, Every time a customer walks to me, I was like, I want to buy an engagement for my girl for $30,000. I said, you're so dumb. I tell him straight up, why would you spend $30,000? Why are you going to sell it? It's very simple. You're going to sell me this natural 3-carat you bought for $30,000 tomorrow. How much am I paying you? $15,000. Correct? You lose 50% of your money. You buy this 3-carat for $3,000. How much am I paying you when you sell it back to me? Nothing, right? The melt of the stone. But you lose $2,500, you lose $15,000. What are we doing?
Right.
But in the future, if you want to invest your money, buy a house.
Right. Well, put people it in think, diamonds. But people talk about it. They say diamonds is an investment.
It used to be till Lab came out.
Right.
Now it's not an investment anymore.
Okay. So people that are thinking about this in their head, you have $30,000, like this person called you on the phone.
I say buy a Birkin for her. She'd rather a Birkin and a Lab diamond than a real diamond and a freaking, no offense, a Coach bag.
Right. So, but that's important.
Am I right? What would you rather?
Well, I'm not getting a Coach bag. I'll tell you that.
There you go.
But it's a good point. $30,000 will get you a very tiny, real stone.
3-carat.
3-carat.
You buy a 5-carat, but it's low color, low clarity.
Right,
it looks
but
yellow.
I mean, a good stone,
correct,
it's a very small stone. You can spend the same amount, or you actually can't spend the same amount. For $30,000, you're getting ripped
laboratory
off, which is what we're going to talk about in a second. But for, say, $5,000, $10,000, you can get a very large stone if that is what is important to you and your wife. Now, it's very funny. When my fiance was looking for a ring for me, he got some advice from our best friends. It's a gay couple. They're in their 60s. They live here in Palm Beach. And the guy said, let me tell you something, Dan. You don't buy the stone for her. You buy it for you, because people look at her hand and then they look at you and then they say, oh, I know who she's married to. Sure. So for him, it was really important to him to buy a big stone.
Of course.
Now, let's talk about, I know you have a girl that you have talked about on your Instagram that came to you and her fiance had bought her a very expensive, tell the story.
So they were getting engaged and he went to a store. I'm not going to say where. I don't want to call anybody here. And they sold her a 10-carat lab for $40,000, if I'm not mistaken. 38, 48, I don't remember the number. They gave her an appraisal for $60,000. She called me. She's like, listen, we got separated. How much is the stone worth?
But she wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why don't you go back to people who sold it to you for $40,000? Mm-hmm. Because they will not take it back. I said, correct. That stone should have cost you a penny over $8,000.
Wow.
She was like, what? Then it came to my brain. I said, what am I, like, it bothers me that, listen, everybody's entitled to make money, but you can't just, you have to educate the customer and then you make money, but you have to make 4,000% of your money.
Right, right. So I think the point there for people listening, if you're buying a lab grown, which now you should be, and it's not a bad stigma and it's not a bad investment, like you're wasting your money.
Correct.
If you're spending more than what, 10, 15 even, like even the biggest ring.
It's not $15.
Right. They're just not, that's not the price.
No.
So if anyone is telling you that, oh, it's the best of the best lab grown, if they're quoting you more than $15,000,
you're getting robbed. You're getting robbed.
Right.
Straight highway robbery. And if you don't want to get robbed, go to watchkingjewelry.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. So this is also what I looked up. Lab grown. It said, this is from ChatGPT, everybody. So lab grown is 60 to 80% cheaper than natural.
Way diamonds. Cheaper than
so natural. Like I was looking at stones when I went into, I won't say the name of the jewelry store, but it's a big one here in Palm Beach. I'm looking at something. It was between 7 and 9 carats, let's say. The prices were over $300,000.
Natural.
Yeah, natural,
okay.
Obviously. And by the way, those were the smallest ones because we're here in Palm Beach and we're looking at 15 carats. There was another one. Those were, you know, up to $700,000. This is crazy money. Now, if someone went to you and said, here's a picture, I just saw this, I want this stone, you know, you can replicate that stuff, right?
Yeah, for my cost. WatchKingJewelry.com, my jewelry at my cost. That's how I invented Watch King Jewelry. You know, we're going to talk about it. Yeah. I was sick and tired of hearing people getting ripped off. And I say, no, I'm going to create a membership program where it's $100 a year, which is nothing. You guys spend more money on Starbucks, $8 coffee that tastes like, no offense. I don't drink coffee, so it doesn't matter. But $8 a month, which is $100 a year, you get my jewelry at my cost, which is whatever my cost is, I'll show you. And that's what you pay.
Right.
Live
anything.
Is not anything. Even natural, I'll do my cost. I don't care. But
this is not involved in the watches.
No watches. Just jewelry.
Just jewelry.
Just jewelry.
Okay. And you can make anything. You don't have to have it in your store.
No.
So someone could take a picture of something, say, I want this. And if they're part of your membership.
Correct.
Okay.
$100 a year.
You also have some special deals going on with your membership, right?
Correct. So we do giveaways every week. Every time we reach 200 members, we do a jewelry giveaway. And then we're doing a watch giveaway December 24th.
Okay, so you just started this membership.
Yeah, a week ago.
How many? Do you have a good amount yet? How many?
Almost 400.
Okay.
That's not enough.
It's not enough yet because now we're going to start promoting it. I became a member.
I know.
So does that mean every time you
every time you get anything for cost?
No. Does it mean that I'm in your pools?
I do a giveaway, and every time I do a giveaway, even if you win, you're still in it for the next one.
Okay. I might have to get a membership only. For my daughter, for everyone I know, just so I have a bigger chance.
We're doing the watch December 24th. I'm going to do it Christmas Eve, brand new Batman. It's about $17,000.
So, but it sounds like at the end of the day, you would lose money, no?
On what?
On having to give things away for cost.
For now, I'm losing to invest. Amazon lost too in the beginning.
Love it.
Look at him now.
I mean, I love that. That's a really good way to look at things.
You can't look at, you know when you lose? When you quit.
Yeah.
No, I'm just investing money, right? Same thing when you buy stocks. It goes down, I'm down. You're not down. When you cash out, you're down.
Talk to me about the resale of a lab diamond.
There's no resale at all.
Okay.
But
so somebody buys
when you buy it at my cost, you're going to lose very minimal.
But let me ask you a question. Somebody comes to you, they buy a $5,000 lab-grown diamond. They break up. They want to sell it back. How does that work?
They get melt, whatever the melt is on the jewelry, on the gold.
So it's
maybe
similar.
$100 a carat.
Got it. Okay, so it still goes down.
Goes down, but not if you buy a $20,000, you get $10,000. You buy a $5,000, you get...
So it's true that most diamonds lose value the second you walk out the door.
Yeah, it's like a car.
Okay.
Nothing in jewelry is investable. Whoever's telling you his investment is just lying to you straight up. I'll tell you the truth how it is. People hate me because of it, but I don't care. Nothing is investable. What's investable in the future is real estate, maybe stock market, whatever. Invest in yourself. You look good, doesn't matter. Let me ask you a question. You eat, it's an investment? Yeah, on your body.
Right.
You're losing money, you're paying for it.
Sure.
And you go to the bathroom and it comes out.
Yeah.
So, right?
Right.
Same thing with jewelry. You wear it. Not everything. It's okay to lose $2,000 to have a good time.
Yeah.
People go to the club, spend $30,000 on the bottle. They don't say I'm losing money.
But also, you know, there are so many people, and I believe them. You kind of got to fake it till you make it. You got to look the part. Like, let's say you have very little money.
I'm still broke, but I look like I'm rich if I'm wearing lab.
No, but seriously, you if you want to go for a job interview, you're going to show up like a schmuck. Like, no one's going to give you the job. You got to look the part. You got to invest. If you have no money, buy a good suit. You know what I mean?
Buy
a good
suit. Amazon and Google, they don't wear Versace, whatever, Gucci belt. So, okay, when I reach there, I won't wear a Gucci belt. Although, for now, I have to.
Right. Okay.
am I right or wrong?
Here, wait. The most important truth that I got from ChatGPT on this, most diamonds, natural included, are not good investments. But they're an investment in the woman.
The woman, you're investing in her and investing in yourself because she looks good. Look. You go out with a girl, she goes by herself, they look at her, she looks like, no offense, that she's worth nothing, like who's the man who's making her feel this way, right?
Yeah.
And if she looks like $1 million and she looks unapproachable, you're gonna be like, oh, this is so-and-so's girl. It's like, wow, look at him.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I invest in your woman. WashingtonJewelry.com.
How much do you think luxury buying today is about status and perception rather than actual value?
All of it. Yeah. It's all of it. I mean, we all wear it for status. We all wear it for attention. What do you think I do Instagram for? Because you want the attention. It's fine. It's okay. We all have attention. It's normal. Just admit it.
But do you think that people will get over this stigma? Because I hear it all the time. Oh, yeah, she got a 10 carat ring. It clearly is a lab.
So what?
Right.
So she's smart. When you say lab, when she tells you it's natural, you look at her like, oh, my God, you got ripped off. There we go. She's got a lab for a cheap price. She's smart.
Right.
She took the money. Take the $30,000, buy a 10 carat lab. For whatever the hell it is, 8K, 9K, 5K, whatever the color cloud is, and then take the rest of the money, put it in S&P 500 and give it to your kids in 20 years.
Right, right.
The diamond is not going to do what the S&P 500 is going to do for you. I don't care what people tell you. They're all fairy tales.
Yeah. No, I love that you're saying it. What's the biggest mistake people make when buying watches or diamonds? Besides the price, I guess.
They think it's investable. That's the biggest mistake.
Yeah. Okay, so besides that, though, like, that they're not, do you think it's important to be educated?
Yes. You have to be educated. Look what happened to people who weren't.
Yeah.
Bought lab for $40,000.
Right.
Hells yeah. And that's my job. I educate the customer before he walks in. Always. And if you see it, if you come, I'll always educate. And I always tell the customer, don't buy it today. I don't want you to buy it. I don't want your money now. Go home, think about it.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 will come back. The other 3 don't come back. It wasn't meant for them. On 47th Street, the stigma is buy it. Well, how much you want to pay? Pay right now. They're looking for the sale right now. I'm looking to build a community.
How do you compete with 47th Street? You walk down the street, you don't even know where to go. Like, exactly. There's so much shit going on.
Exactly. Oh, come here. I don't do that.
So people find you.
They'll find me, and if they don't, people ask, where's watching? Like, oh, he's not here anymore. Just to steal a customer. Like, why would you do that? People come to you, where's this guy? He's like, he's across the street right there.
Does it say Watch King on
my store? Yeah, I have my own storefront. So now they see it.
But do you think that social media has played a huge part in your sales?
It was God and all social media. I have the store today because of God, of course. I still believe in God 100% and social media.
But so it's not people walking by.
No,
it's people that have seen you, want to go to see
Instagram, TikToks changed my whole business.
Do people do stupid shit? Do they come in and they're like...
Yeah, one guy's like... So I got robbed a few months ago outside my house.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. They took $500,000 in merchandise from me. They took my watch. They took my chains, everything.
Did you get hurt?
Yeah, I got tased.
Like, stop, really?
Yeah. So I was walking to my car. There's a guy with a construction suit. I turn around and I see a gun. I'm like... I hope it's not a real gun. There was a taser. So he tased me. Not the one that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever wonder what, unfortunately, what a paralyzed person feels like? I was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started running to my house. And then they attacked me. Because they missed one leg hit. One hit the leg, one hit the side of my belt.
Okay. So you weren't fully, yeah.
One leg was like, I was like wobbling.
Yeah.
And then they beat me, took all my shit and ran away. And I got in the car. The cops came. I went to chase them. They got even worse. I guess because ran, boom, in the car accident. 10 seconds later, my shoulder got dislocated. Now, mind you, I have a 6 a.m. flight to L.A. to go to David Dobrik's birthday.
Oh, my God.
So, honestly, that's why I said, like, don't have self-pity. I could have sat home and been depressed. I'm like, guys, I just got robbed. I'm like, you know, fuck this. They're not going to stop me. 6 a.m. I went with a cast. Call my partner, like, I just got robbed. I need jewelry and a watch in my house. It's in 2 hours. I'm in the hospital.
Because you can't travel without.
Because I can't go to Dobrik's birthday without any of that shit. But he came to my house. I went to work. I went to the hospital at 4 p.m. They checked me out. I went straight to work, picked up my jewelry again.
And that's did they catch the guy?
No, they never will.
Till
this day? Unfortunately, the cops have their hands tied because God bless New York City and their laws. And they're smart. They came with a taser. So they didn't come with a deadly weapon.
Right,
they're
going
to get away the next day. So what's the point of catching him? To book him and let him go.
Right. That makes me question insurance. You know, everybody talks about...
I had insurance, but they didn't cover me. They'd be like, oh, you did an insurance scam. If you saw it on Instagram and people wrote it in the comments, you'll be like, whoa, you're a scammer, you're a thief, you did it for the insurance. First of all, why would I endanger my life for 400 grand, 500 grand? Thank God I can afford it.
Yeah.
Second of all, I didn't have insurance because I was carrying.
Oh.
I wasn't carrying, I was holding. So I only had $140,000 insurance.
Got it.
They took $500,000, so I lost
$300,000. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
If they took my bag, I would have... It would have been, they could have said insurance fraud.
Got it.
But they didn't take my bag.
But let me ask a question, because people that get jewelry, I want to educate them a little bit on the insurance of, everyone should get insurance.
Get insurance.
Even on lab.
Get insurance.
Diamonds.
Yeah, get insurance. Insurance, 10 grand, it's still money.
And it goes what, on your home insurance?
You can do home insurance, you can do Jewelers Mutual, there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
But get insurance.
Okay. Even on the smallest things.
Everything.
Okay. If you were advising your best friend buying an engagement ring today, what would you tell them to do?
Lab only.
Lab only.
Only.
But like, is there a certain shape?
That's whatever she likes, but
they
all look nice. Listen, we all have different tastes, but lab only.
Okay. And then what about settings? There's a lot of stuff on Instagram right now about all these different settings. What do you like? What do you think of the different settings?
I mean, daintier is nicer to me, but everyone has their own taste. If you wear a big rock, have it like Tiffany style plain, right? And if you have a small rock, you want to make it look big, you do halo setting. There's a bunch of settings to choose from. But
yeah. You and I have been talking about the wedding band. And so we're still kind of creating it. And you have suggested to me to wear my wedding band on the opposite hand, which I love that idea because then every year I could buy a new one and stack.
I'm going to also change your stack. So we're going to take all those bracelets, put it on here because that's empty.
Oh, good idea.
And once the watch is the own
bougie,
alone. And then you have the bracelets like this.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay, I'm doing it wrong. All right.
No, you're not doing it wrong. I believe.
But we're going to upgrade it.
I believe the same thing in like an engagement ring, right? You wear the big ass rock here.
Yeah.
And you wear the big ass wedding band right here. So both hands are shining.
Oh, I like that. Okay, we're working on that. All right, good. I need a couple more diamonds in
here. I got
here,
you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we
got
to fix it.
WashingtonJewelry.com.
Okay, I feel like we've gone through all this. I was going to say, what's the biggest myth about diamonds or watches you wish people would stop believing immediately?
Wow, that's a great question. The biggest myth.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. I don't know. I mean, investable. That's the only thing. Everything else is fine. It's a luxury item.
You mean the myth is that people think, oh, this is like investing in
art. Yeah, investing. Okay. Even.
So I think that's important, though, for people to listen. If you love it,
Buy it.
But don't buy it because you think, oh, I'm going to get my money back.
You buy it, sure, you're going to make your money back. No, but you wear it, you enjoy it, you love it, and you get whatever you can when you sell in the second market. Like you sell a bag, you sell shoes. There's a market for it. Some will go up, some won't. It's fine. It's like buying a car.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the hardest thing about this whole conversation is people are going to think, the people that think it will still think that lab-grown diamonds are cheap.
No, they're not educated.
Right.
The smart investment.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the way, that's the thing that they're missing, and that's the changing of the minds going forward is that is the smart investment.
It's like flying first class, paying $20,000 or flying through points. What do you think I do? I don't pay 20 grand. I'm a Jew. Well, I don't fucking pay, never. I'll drive there, I'll go by boat before I pay 20,000, but I get it through points.
Right, well,
but I'm still the same status. I still walk on there like I paid for it and I tell me, oh, I already got, oh, I just paid. They're like, no, you didn't. I'm like, oh, whatever.
But it doesn't change how they serve you in first class. You are just, your money is just as good. Your points are just as good.
There's a system for a reason. Just get all you got to do is educate yourself.
Yeah.
The more you get educated, the more you're going to learn, the more you're not going to get ripped off, and the more you're going to feel comfortable about yourself. And I'm not embarrassed to say this is live, and I'm a jeweler.
Right. You know? Right. What do you know now about money and value that you wish you understood earlier in life?
Money can be the root of all evil, and it can be the best thing that ever happened to you. It depends how you spend it. People make money and they become cocky, they become egotistical, and money can humble you. Do good with your money, help people who need help. Listen, I was driving here, I saw a guy, it says veteran, I need money for food, took out $100, gave it to him. He was so thankful. Why should he be there on the street?
Yeah, I agree, it's really hard. I love the underdog.
I felt bad for he guy served our country.
I know, it's terrible.
He's sitting on the street asking for money, take care of him.
I know. I
people look at him, don't look at him. It can be you one day. I was there.
Yeah.
They made me ask for 30 cents when I was in the casino. That's when I realized I had an issue. I had $5 to pay for parking. I'll never forget. It was $4.70 I had left. They said, you're not leaving. You're short 30 cents. I said, I just lost my ass. They said, too bad. I begged for 30 cents on the street to get my car out. I remember driving home crying. I came back the next day.
Wow.
That's how I knew I had a problem.
But isn't it interesting that having an experience like that now reminds you to stay right where you are as opposed to ever feel
that? Yeah. I'm just saying, just don't enjoy the money. Do good with it. Don't spend it and live for $30K. Don't be stupid.
I think that's great advice. All right, lastly, what is next for you? Like, what's on your bucket list? Do you want to do more than what you're doing? I know you just started this membership thing, so this is going to be a big deal for you. But, I know your mindset is to kind of live in the moment. Yeah. But is there something you really want to do with your life?
Cure cancer for children. I swear, that's my whole goal. It makes me sick when I watch these kids stuff. I cry every day when I watch. I see TikToks at night. I'm a cancer. I'm sensitive. I'm a June baby. I'm a cancer. I cry every day watching these kids suffer. It makes me crazy. And if I can change something, that's all I care about.
But how could you change something? By getting involved, making so much money you could donate?
Yeah, just build hospitals. Man, just hopefully they find a cure for this shit.
Well, maybe something you could do could sponsor a charity.
I try every day.
Yeah.
But what's my next goal? I'll hopefully get a TV show.
Nice. About what? Like icing?
Our life every day.
Icing celebrities? Or what do you mean?
Oh, no.
You want a TV show about talking about jewelry with famous people?
Yeah, people watch whatever they call that, the real estate shows. Our shows are much better than the real estate shows.
Got it.
Ours are real time. It's not dramatic. We can make it dramatic, but...
Oh, I love that idea. Are you in talks with people yet?
We were back and forth, but you know what Hollywood does.
That's a really good idea.
It's like a girl. They gather up and they just disappear.
Right. So it's like a millionaire listing, but for the watch business, the jewelry business.
Lab grown.
Love it. Okay, so tell people one more time how they can get involved with your membership program.
Simple.
If they haven't.
Sign up. If you're sick of getting ripped off and jeweler taking advantage of you, go to watchkingjewelry.com. $100 a year is my jewelry and my cost. And if you don't believe me, you can try me. And if I come out as a liar, you get any piece of jewelry you want for free. Try me.
Love that. But as knowing you, being a client, being your friend, I would say that I will never buy jewelry from anywhere else. And I
love
make
that.
Sure that
you made my day.
If
she can buy from me, so can all of you. Trust me, she knows what she wants.
thank you so much.
I don't deal with people like I deal with you.
No. I'm a little bit of a difficult person.
No, you're not difficult. You just You're bougie, so I deal with bougie.
I'm not bougie.
I'm bougie too.
I just want to make sure that you don't, you know.
We're both bougie. I love bougie people.
But it makes me nervous when you travel to Dubai and you go to all these places. Oh. If you get hurt, who's fucking with my ring? I need you around.
I'm worried about the money in the business. I don't give a fuck about the ring. No offense. I get hurt. My kids are dead.
That's true.
We always go with security.
Right.
I have God. God's not going to let me get hurt.
That's right. Okay. I love that you, never. You still have a belief.
I put tefillin every day. You know what tefillin is? Like, you know, we wrap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wrap it every day. That's one thing I never stop.
Oh, I love that.
Every morning before I wake up, I wrap it.
All right, last piece of advice. Give one of your daily tips for people listening. Or your daily whatever.
Be humble. You never know. Be nice to people. You'll never know when you might need somebody. And just because you can change somebody's day. You never know. One smile, one hug, one good morning, one how you doing. People just open up to you. People are alone in this world. They need people to open up to talk to. You might save somebody's life. Somebody, God forbid, decided to hurt himself and you were nice to him today and you just smiled at him. Try. Doesn't hurt. Hello doesn't cost money.
I love that. That's a really good line. All right, watch King NYC. Go to his Instagram. They have a phone number there.
Yeah, call.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my honor to be here. I promise you.
Me too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're the first podcast I ever did.
We're good?
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.